happy to be back this evening and the second affirmative of the evening and taking my affirmative material. Before I do so, I do want to take just a moment or two to say a few things about what he said, and then it will require most of my time to finish my affirmative material. I do not believe that he touched top, side, or bottom what I'm teaching and the truth of the matter, and I hope that you'll be able to see it plainer as we go along. First of all, for the questions that he asked me, he didn't get all the answers on the board, and didn't read all the answers that I gave him. Question number one is, did Jesus use one cup, drinking vessel, to institute the Lord's Supper? And I said, the Bible does not say, so I do not know. Secondly, will a congregation of Christians be condemned for using one cup, drinking vessel, to distribute the fruit of the vine in the Lord's Supper? He simply marked, no, this is what I said. He didn't read it. No, if they do not teach false doctrine on it. And so I believe that he teaches false doctrine on it. And then must we observe the Lord's Supper as Jesus instituted it? I said, yes, as far as the example goes, for example, he did not institute it on the first day of the week like we are supposed to have it, Acts 20, verse 7. Are we supposed to do it like Jesus did on what, Thursday night? Wasn't the first day of the week. I said, as far as the example goes, we do it the way he did it. Jesus took through the vine, he blessed it, he gave it to them, they divided it among themselves, they drank it. That's exactly what we do every Lord's Day. And so, one thing he said, he just emphasized that his practice is not under question. I categorically deny it. I'm here tonight for his practice. I wouldn't be here if it weren't. If it weren't for his practice, I wouldn't be here. Is it your practice? I asked Paul Nichols, he firmly said, yes. Is it your practice to have only one drinking vessel and distribution of fruit of vine and condemn those that have more than one? Is that your practice? We're here to discuss your practice, Joe. We're here to discuss your practice. Don't make out like it's just our practice under consideration. It's not. We're here to discuss your practice, and I believe what you teach is not so. And I wouldn't spend my time doing this for it if it thought it were. I know that it's not, and therefore, I'm here to deny it. I want to take just, I hope, 3 or 4 minutes and refer to a few of the things that he said. It's not my obligation to follow him tonight. He's supposed to follow me. He said he's here to save souls. Certainly I am too. I believe I'm just as interested in saving souls as he is, unless he has more capacity to be interested in them. Because I'm interested in the salvation of the souls of all men with all the capacity that I have. He said, my practice is not found in the Bible. I'm going to show tonight his practice is not found in the Bible. You can't prove whether it did one or a dozen or what. That's not even material to the thing. It's simply not. He continued to say that in order to have something, when you use metonymy, when you name one thing to suggest something else, both of them have to be present. And I've asked him time and time again, go through the passages. Did he take this sheet like I suggested and go through all the passages and check them all? I don't know what he believes. He talks like it's fruit of the vine sometimes, container sometimes, container filled fruit of the vine sometimes. I really don't know. I hope before tomorrow night closes that I'll know what he believes on every one of these passages. He already knows what I believe on every one of them. That's what he came here for, to tell you what I believe on the passages. The idea I demonstrated, the White House spoke, the traveling White House. I took a canteen of Rocky Mountain spring water. You tell me the spring has to be here, drink the Rocky Mountain spring water. Well, I can drink the spring right here. It doesn't suggest that it's present. Now, he talked about the idea of the kettle boils. Sure, when you name one thing and describe action that takes place on the inside of the thing you name, sure, the thing you name has to be present, like a kettle boils, the radiator boils. The idea of drinking the cup, I'm going to show the thing you name does not have to be present. Now, certainly fluid demands some kind of containment. But the point is, the Lord used the word cup to describe the fruit of the vine, and I don't know how it was contained, and really it's totally immaterial to the thing. Now, he wants an example of any church in the New Testament that ever had a plurality drinking vessel turned to chart. Transparency. Hey, I'm going to give you that example right now. Turn in your Bibles, friends. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's study this passage for just a minute. Corinth obviously had them. Don't think it's material. Don't think it makes any difference. Paul O'Nichols wouldn't deny that he had them. I say he did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible says, verse 21, for in eating, everyone taketh before another his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunk. And everyone bring the elements himself, but then the church provides the elements. And the bread and the fruit of the vine. Didn't they? What is it? One is hungry, another is drunk. It's used by contrast. The word drunken doesn't mean intoxicated necessarily. Oh, you can find lexicons. Certainly every lexicon will show you that the word can mean that. But it's the same word used over in John chapter 2, verse 10. Where over here Jesus at the marriage, the king of Galilee, when the wine had gone, he performed the miracles of the house and more. And the same basic word that's translated drunken here is found in John 2 in verse 10, where it says, and said unto him, every man set upon first the good wine, and when men have drunk freely. And most of them translate drunk freely. They've drunk plenty. And that's the contrast here. One is hungry, and others have drunk freely or drunk of plenty. Now, if they all drank out of the same container, it's always been amazing to me why they all couldn't get the same amount. Why couldn't they all drink freely? And let one down it before the rest of them got in at all. One didn't get in here very little, and some drunk freely. And obviously, the individual brought the elements. It wouldn't be anything wrong with the individual. Every individual bring the elements now. The bread, the fruit of the vine. It proves that all did not drink out of the same vessel, or they would all have the same amount. Now, the teaching, number one, Paul is condemning them for the manner they took the Lord's Supper. He didn't condemn the elements they had. He didn't condemn the elements they had in the Lord's Supper at all. This shows that the Lord, could not really make the supper the Lord's by the way they were eating it. It was their own. Said, when you come together, not to take the Lord's Supper. That shows they were trying to think of it, not the way they were doing it. They were just trying to satisfy their appetites. And Paul said, if that's all you want to do, go home. That's the place to satisfy your appetite. It's not in the taking the Lord's Supper. The very point, although Paul condemns Corinth for the manner in which they took the supper, he never condemned them for the kind of food they had or the fact that each one brought the elements for itself. That certainly indicates he put right up his drinking vessels and put right up his bread when they took it. Now there's an example. There's an example. Now, I know he was condemning Corinth for the manner they took it. Don't misrepresent or don't misunderstand, rather, what I'm saying. Because they certainly did it in that way. And when 5 minutes is gone, all right, I think I've got to get on my firm here. All right. Just a minute. Well, he criticized the definition. May I have his transparency very quickly on the idea of authorities? Or authorities? He may not like it. I don't accept authorities.
What number?
Well,
we didn't catch the number.
Yes, we found the number.
Both time.
Quoting Thayer and quoting Robinson. And,
okay, all these authorities.
There were three.
Is it number three? Okay.
I mean, there were three in the series. Three in the series.
Of course, okay.
All
right. No. All right. He said Robinson says drinking vessel, drinking vessel. Thayer. All of them.
What started?
Joe, all of them say drinking vessel. That's not all they say. That's not all they say. He out here a while ago read part of there. He didn't ever read the last part. He also says, what is offered to be drunk? You didn't read that. What is offered to be drunk? What, the word cup? Sure. The literal definition means a drinking vessel. But I've shown you 8 different ways that the Bible uses the word. And you affirm that when you name one thing, it has to be present. Well, was a cup present in suffering? Was it present in the lives of the people? Was it present in the wrath of God? A meat sacrifice to idols? Lewdness? Was there a little drinking vessel and present in all of these? Friends, you know that it was. That's not in the idea. And metonymy is when you say one thing to suggest something else. Now I affirm that what the Lord took, he blessed. What he blessed, he gave to them. What he gave to them, they divided among themselves. What they divided among themselves was the fruit of the vine. What they drank was the fruit of the vine. Therefore, the cup is the fruit of the vine. Now, I challenge you. You talk about authorities. You take the word cup to mean drinking vessel one time, fruit of the vine one time, drinking vessel filled with the fruit of the vine another time. I challenge you. Get your authority out. Get Thayer out. Get any lexicon that ever gives the definition you give to it. that it's a literal drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine. Where is it? Name one. One Greek lesson that ever says that. I haven't found it yet. I've got about 10 in my library, and I don't believe you're going to find it either. You may find where it says it can mean this, or it can mean this, it can mean this. Find just one where it says a drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine. I haven't found it. If you find it, then you'll teach me something. At least it's there. I haven't found it. Well, he talks about a bottle of fruit of the vine. Bottle of bottle. No, he didn't have to say cup of cup, because cup is a metonymy referring to the fruit of the vine. Therefore, we put it. Now, you say for sanitation reasons when it started. I did start for sanitation reasons. There have been a plurality of drinking vessels used since the 2nd and 3rd century that I can prove. Challenge me on it tomorrow night, and I'll follow you, and I'll produce them, and I'll read them. We'll get back to Ananias and Barnabas. They just happen to have a setup for about the last 30 years. I can prove that back in the 2nd and 3rd century, they used the plurality of drinking vessels. Now, the idea that it started after people learned more about sanitation is simply not so. It's not so. Well, I must quickly get on my affirmative material, because I'm here tonight to present my affirmative material, being in the affirmative. I've proved already that the word cup is used by metonymy, referring to one thing, naming one thing to refer to something else. These are things, of course, that is used time and time and time again. Now, next will be my chart number 3. On chart number 3, the cup, what is it? Now, in Matthew 26:27, drink ye all of it. Heck, it. If a person had nothing but that one verse and just read it, he might not understand really what it was. He might not understand whether it's referring to fruit of the vine or whether it's referring to a container. Now, if this is so, neither one could use that verse for his proof text. He wanted to use that verse while ago for his proof text. In Psalms 119, verse 160, the Bible says, the sum of thy word is truth. Let's take all the word of God to find what truth is. Now, the proof text is in Matthew 26 and in verse 29, where it says, they drank of Ek, the fruit of the vine. Now, they drank Ek, the cup. They drank Ek, the fruit of the vine, unless Ek is used in two different ways. Then it is used referring to the drinking out of the fruit of the vine. That's exactly what we do, and I affirm that. Now, all of the passages are just as plain as they can be. In Luke 22, verse 17, the cup is to be divided. Now, you divide the cup. Is that a metonymy, or is that a literal drinking vessel that you divide? I've asked him. Take deal with this scripture. Luke 22, 17, you divide the cup, whatever that is. I affirm it's not a literal drinking vessel. I affirm it's the fruit of the vine. In Luke 22:20, 1 Corinthians 11:25, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. I affirm it cannot be the drinking vessel referred to the blood that ratified the testament. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, the blood that ratified the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? Now, the cup you bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Is that a drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine represent the blood of Christ? Or just the fruit of the vine represent the blood of Christ? You can see that. Anyone can see that, I believe. In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26, 28, here we don't drink out of the cup. We literally drink the cup. Now, you cannot literally drink a container. You drink fluid, and therefore cup has to refer to the fruit of the vine. Well, the conclusion is that cup means fruit of the vine all 12 times that it's used in respect to the Lord's Supper, and certainly means nothing else. Now, I call for a passage of Scripture on this chart. The Scriptures teach concerning the cup. They teach by precept. Jesus took the cup, blessed it, said it was his blood, said it was the fruit of the vine. You can read all the passages on that. He took it by precept. He told them to drink it. He told them to drink the fruit of the vine. We have an example of them taking it, and an example, a certain of them did. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the church of Corinth is doing that very thing. And then, of course, there is an inference that we are doing. When he says, drink the cup, the inference is, of course, we drink the fruit of the vine. I affirm the word cup, every time that it's found, refers to the fruit of the vine. I ask for just one passage where it ever says it's a container. Sure, definition, but it's used metonymically every time that it's used. I don't believe the word is ever used just referring to a ton container. The next chart that I want to refer to will be chart number, let's see, chart number 5. Here is the issue. Here is where we need to think about it. A rule, a specific pattern excludes other specifics in the same genera. That is, if there's no authority for them, of course. We have to have authority for everything we do. For lack of authority, then be excluded. For an example, if your boss told you to go downtown and buy a Ford automobile from the company, now a generic of Ford would be a car. Excluded would be Chevy, Dodge, Buick, any other kind. Now, in Genesis 6, God told Noah to build an ark of gopher wood. Would the generic go for a specific kind of wood? All other kinds of wood, pine, oak, fir, would be eliminated. In Ephesians 5:19, speaking one another in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, singing to make a melody in your hearts to God, the Bible tells us to sing a specific kind of music. If God had said, make music, we could have the mechanical music. He didn't say that. He gave us the kind of music that we have, and it's only vocal music. In Acts 20 and verse 7, upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. For the Lord's Supper, we have a specific day. And it's not the day that the Lord instituted the supper on, by the way. It's the first day of the week, the day the Lord was resurrected, the dead of them. Now, he specified the first day. A generic can be any day. Excluded would be the second day, fourth day, any other day. No authority for those days. There is authority for the first day of the week. Now we focus in a little closer. I affirm that the Bible says that we have one element, and it refers to as a cup. Cup suggests element, fruit of the vine. A generic could just be any drink. I don't believe we can have any drinks. Eliminated would be any other drink, tomato juice, watermelon juice, blackberry juice, any other kind of juice. His position is this, that the word Bible specifically says use one drinking vessel. No, I think I missed that. It says specifically use one drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine. I don't misrepresent it. Whatever he thinks, the cup is the literal drinking vessel. Or is it literal drinking vessel filled with fruit of the vine? But you don't divide the literal drinking vessel. His position is drinking vessel. The generic could be any kind or any number. Be a good question to ask him. Could you drink the fruit of the vine on the Lord's day out of the canteen I had? That's a drinking vessel. It's a drinking vessel. Would it satisfy? More than one or any different kind of drinking vessel would be, of course, what he would say would be wrong. All right, I'm going to go to chart number 7. Chart number 7. All right, here again, the same thing, a little different way perhaps. His position is this. God specified one drinking vessel, generic to be any other number, excluded to be all other drinking vessels, also any other kinds of drinking vessels, such as a glass, jug, canteen, kettle, pitcher, any other number. Has to be a drinking cup and has to be one drinking cup. Did he believe all these passages refer to this? You say the list, you know the truth of the matter. My position is simply this, that the Bible used the word cup consistently every time to refer to one element, fruit of the vine. Therefore, any other element is excluded. Any other element cannot be another element. We must have the kind that the Lord specified. Now I want to go to my chart number 9. Chart number 9. We have here some syllogisms, and you may never heard that word, but you've made it many, many times. Every argument is a syllogism. It is. But notice, the cup is the fruit of the vine, Matthew 26, 27, 29. The fruit of the vine is not a container, therefore the cup is not a container. It's not a container. The cup is the blood of Christ, metonymic. It is the blood of Christ. Matthew 26, 28. Jesus took the cup. He said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sin. The cup is the blood of Christ. Therefore, the cup is not the drinking vessel, not unless the drinking vessel represents the blood of Christ. I don't believe it does. What the cup is? The cup is the blood of Jesus. Well, what is it that represents the blood of Jesus? It's the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine is the blood of Christ. Therefore, the cup is the fruit of the vine. The cup is the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine is what you drink. The Bible says drink the cup. Therefore, the cup is what you drink, and it is the fruit of the vine. You drink the cup, 1 Corinthians 11:26. You drink the fruit of the vine, not a container. Therefore, the cup is the fruit of the vine. It is not a container. The New Testament teaches one cup. Well, what is it? Is it a container? One container? I affirm that it is not. I affirm that it is the fruit of the vine. Now, I want to show you what we must do in order to do basically what the early church did. In Ephesians and Corinth, bless the same cup. Now, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, Bible says, the cup of blessing which we bless. Now, they bless the same cup. Give me chart number 8, please. Transparency 8. You know, Paul, if you're very familiar with the book of Acts, you know this, of course. But when he wrote 1 Corinthians, he was on his third journey in Ephesus. He stayed there 3 years. Now, Paul over in Ephesus, writing to the brethren over in Corinth, said they blessed the same cup. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. For in eating, is that the right one? Is that transparency A? Well, I'm sorry. I've got the wrong chart here. Well, I'll have to go over this. I thought I had one, but maybe I'll check it. All right, turn in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul is over here at Ephesus. He's writing to the brethren at Corinth. And he says, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is he referring to two cups? How many cups is he referring to? He said he's referring to one. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? Now here he was hundreds of miles away, writing to a church hundreds of miles away, and he says, the cup which we bless. Ephesus and Corinth blessed the same cup. 1 Corinthians 10:16. They did not bless the same container or containers, did they? Don't see how they could. Therefore, the cup is not the container. Again, Ephesus and Corinth blessed the same cup. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Ephesus and Corinth could only have blessed the same element, fruit of the vine. Therefore, fruit of the vine, the element, is what they blessed. Notice, one cup for all churches. One fruit of the vine, one element for all churches. If cup is a container, this is not so. Therefore, the cup is not the container. The cup is not the container. Ephesus and Corinth blessed the cup, not cups. And one cup. If a cup is a container, they had to bless the cups. Therefore, the cup is not the container, but refers to the fruit of the vine. We today bless the same cup they blessed. We know not of their containers. Therefore, we bless the same element. To restore New Testament practice everywhere, we must restore the same doctrine, the same organization, the same terms, and the same cup. We cannot restore the same containers, therefore must restore the same element through the vine. Now, he would believe in 500 cups for 500 churches. I don't. I believe one cup for every blood-bought son of God upon the face of the earth. That cup is the fruit of the vine. I believe in one cup, he believes in 500 or 500 churches. That one cup is fruit of the vine. Used by metonymy, naming one thing to simply suggest something else. Now I want to turn to my chart number 11. The vessel or vessels mean nothing. We eat the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 20, Paul said, when you come together, He said, when therefore you assemble yourselves together, it is not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. We eat the Lord's Supper. We do not eat vessels or plates. Therefore, vessels or plates are no part of the Lord's Supper. Now, you can make it a part of it. When it does, you're going to have to eat it. You're going to eat the Lord's Supper. We do not eat a drinking vessel. Since vessels are no part of the Lord's Supper, they mean nothing. That's simply what I say. All I know is Jesus took. The Bible says he took cup, signifies fruit of the vine. He took fruit of the vine, he gave it to them. And they took it. And they used it. And we do the very same thing today as they did. He asked me, are we to do it like Jesus did? Well, as far as all essential elements, yes. I don't know exactly how he passed it out. I know the best historians that you can find in encyclopedias tell you that he took something like perhaps a very large vessel. Very large vessel. And each individual there, the 12 apostles, had their own drinking vessels or cups in front of them, and they passed it out. And scholars tell us that they had either three, some say three, some say four, cups in the Passover. And from this one vessel, they filled up the vessels of the apostles either three or four times. That's the best you can find when as far as information goes. But it's totally immaterial. The very fact that Jesus took the cup, the fruit of the vine, however we distribute it today, is simply no Bible authority as far as there's nothing contrary to Bible authority as far as distributing it any way you want to. But I emphasize again, we're here. We're here to discuss his practice of teaching what we believe to be false doctrine. So don't let it get up here and say that just can't, where his practice is not under question. It is under question. Now quickly, what pictures? What? Matthew 26, Jesus took bread. What does it picture? You know that it pictures the body of Christ. Matthew 26:28-9, the fruit of the vine is what? He said, This is my blood of the New Testament. The fruit of the vine, and that's the cup there, it pictures the blood of Jesus Christ. What does a bread plate picture? Anything? What does a drinking vessel picture? Anything? We eat the Lord's Supper. We eat the bread. We eat the fruit of the vine. We don't eat these. We don't eat a drinking vessel. We don't eat a plate. And therefore, they don't picture anything. And they're totally insignificant as far as the Lord's Supper is concerned. And so, when we think about the idea of the cup, what he needs to do is get up here and take all of these passages. Take passage after passage. I have them written out for them. All you have to do is just check them off. What does it mean? What does it mean? Does it mean one thing one time and something else another time? He will not be consistent. I'll take authorities, yes. What do authorities say? Bullinger states every one of these Lord's Supper passages and says they're used metonymically, cup for fruit of the vine. That's exactly what I believe. He's a pretty good authority on it. Bayer shows that here a bunch of different definitions. My chart number 2 shows that when the word cup is used in 8 different ways, now is he going to take all these authorities and he's going to say, look, here's authority. And they say drinking vessel. Therefore, they're the 7 ways that is not so. Bayer shows that word used more than one way, and he just wants to make it an idea of one way. It's used a whole lot more than this. I have about a minute or less tonight, and I want to say in closing that I love you, and I'm here because of you. I would to God that all men could see the truth of this matter. There could be no division among you. We can stand for truth, present a united front before the world, and go forth to convert those people who are not right in so many things. Of course, there's so much liberalism and every kind of an ism there is going around the world today. And we need to stand against it. We need to teach the truth of God's Word. I bid you a very pleasant good evening as far as my speaking is concerned. Now listen to what he has to say.